Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Millionaire Real Estate Agent Podcast. I'm Jason Abrams, and this is the place where we lift the curtain on the world of real estate like never before. Every week, I sit down with visionaries, pirates, and mavericks. We're here to document, demonstrate, and most importantly, demystify their game-changing models and systems. What secrets propel them to the top, and how are they living their dreams? This is about passion, it's about strategy, but above all, it's about real, tangible success. So buckle up and let's dive in. This is the Millionaire Real Estate Agent Podcast. Friends, have you ever gotten everything that you wanted? You set a goal, you worked hard, and you got everything you wanted, only to then wake up and realize you kind of feel the same. Is it just me that goes through that? If you think it is, you are dead wrong. Somebody else went through that, and his name is Gino Wickman. Now, he wrote the book Traction, Rocket Fuel. He's the founder of EOS. He wrote Entrepreneurial Leap. These are books many, many of us have read, but here's what you don't know. When Gino sold those businesses for a giant amount of money, he looked up, and you know what he discovered? He wasn't nearly at as much peace as he thought he was going to be. Friends, over the next 43 minutes, we are going to dive deep with Gino Wickman about his new book, Shine, and we are going to learn what he believes are the 10 disciplines to maximize your inner peace and the impact that you make on the world around you. Friends, this is going to blow you away. I absolutely love the way he thinks. Buckle up, Gino Wick. Gino, how are you, sir?
I am fantastic. It's great to see your face again, and I'm really looking forward to this.
It's such an honor to have you here. Now, if you're out there in podcast land, you would have to be living under a rock, 10,000 feet underground to not know who Gino Wickman is. Gino, you're an inspiration to so many people in the real estate business. You have over 230,000 companies that run the EOS model. You've sold 2-3 million copies of these books. One of them literally changed my life. So before we begin, thank you for everything you've done for business, but more importantly, for the real estate industry.
Yeah, appreciate that, brother. That means a lot.
So I've read all your stuff. And they're all models and systems that have helped me run better businesses. In this new book that you wrote Shine. And this is kind of like a little different to me. It almost feels like a departure because when I think of the gurus of inner peace, my friend, you were not number one on the list. How did we end up here today?
Yeah, that is a great question because I never thought I would end up here for what that's worth. You know, so there's an old saying by Daniel Kennedy that says we teach what we needed the most. OK, and so that's all this content that I've created is just me teaching what I needed at intervals in my life. And so there are five pieces of content I've put out in the world very quickly. Entrepreneurial Leap for the entrepreneur in the making, Rocket Fuel for the visionary integrator combo, EOS and Traction for that entrepreneur that wants to build and run their business like a Swiss watch, EOS Life for that entrepreneur that wants to live their ideal life along with leaders. And then this content we're about to talk about, 10 disciplines. Well, each one of those pieces of content was me as an entrepreneur, you know, building my business. I wrote Entrepreneurial Leap for my 18-year-old mislabeled derelict entrepreneur in the making self that was so lost and confused. If I had that content then, I think I'd be a lot further ahead. So with the first four pieces of content, that was all me as the hard-charging entrepreneur learning what I learned in the world and wanting to teach. I'm a teacher at heart. And so I just wanted to give back what I learned. And I'm just passionate about helping entrepreneurs succeed. And so those first pieces of content, if you look at those, they're like climbing the mountain and succeeding in what I call the outer world for an entrepreneur. Well, the fifth piece of content, while it even maximizes the outer world even more, it takes the entrepreneur inside. And so that's what happened for me 4 years ago after I sold EOS Worldwide and I'm sitting at the top of the mountain and literally thinking and saying the thing that I've now heard so many times. And that is this all there is? It's this feeling of like, this was it. Like there's something more or an emptiness or a, and so for me, what happened at that point in time, 52 years old at the time, 4 years ago, sitting there with a pretty damn good life, you know, built a nice little empire. And kind of thinking that, you know, things were perfect. And the second I had that thought, the universe hit me upside the head with a 2x4 and woke my ass up. And so it was truly like an awakening where all of my pain and trauma just kind of came to the surface. And these last 4 years, I've just gone inside to that very scary place. And the best way to describe it, because, you know, this topic can be a little scary. It's hard for us to go inside and see what's in there. But the way I describe it is, as we have this conversation today, we can stay outer world focused. If anyone out there really gets scared, you get to stay outer world focused because everything we're talking about can help you continue to build and maximize your outer world. That's what I helped entrepreneurs succeed by every outer metric. You know, they have the business, the people, the money, the stuff, the accolades. Well, as we climb that mountain, the idea is to look at what's going on below the surface. So the outer world is all that wonderful stuff that you can tangibly see. Then there's what's going on below the surface inside of you. And what I realized for me when I looked back and had my awakening is I buried all my pain and trauma at like age 15, built a persona to protect me from the world. And I just went to work, working, fighting, and just being this package, this tough guy thing that I just wanted to be successful. And so for 35 years, I did that. Well, I realized below the surface, I just always did that with almost like anxiety. My central nervous system was always amped. There was a lot of fear-based stuff going on. And I realized I wasn't alone, you know? And so now as I've kind of opened up and shared my story as I do in this book now, along with my co-author, Rob Dubay, I'm just called to say, hey, entrepreneurs, I've now helped you get here. Let's look inside. And then the million-dollar question is, when is the entrepreneur ready for that? You know, when is that person ready? Because worst case, you're going to get to the top of the mountain, then you'll be ready. Ideally, though, as you're climbing the mountain, it'd be nice to start. And even before you climb the mountain, because what I discovered is you will not lose your edge. You will not lose your drive. And that was always the fear for me because going inside and finding inner peace felt wimpy to me. I got my first glimpse when my kids were born. So it lasted an hour. I can only describe it as pure bliss. And then I stuffed it back down after an hour because it freaked me out. I thought I was going to literally lose everything. So there was just stuff going on below the surface. And I find there's stuff going on below the surface for, frankly, most people. But my focus is, you know, driven entrepreneurs, which is your entire world, real estate agents.
Do you believe that these awakenings tend to happen? Because I've talked to other people that that have experienced varied levels of success, and they get to this point where they have a big windfall, or they sell a business, or they're finally good. They can live where they want. They can drive what they want. They can go on vacation what they want. They can buy the things they want. They got plenty of money, and then they look up and it just doesn't feel as fulfilling as they thought it might. Why do you think the quest for inner peace is easier once you finally have enough money? Do you think it's because you realize that like it just doesn't matter?
No, here's what I learned. And it's a very profound quote from Dr. Doug Brackman. He wrote a book called Driven, which is amazing for us driven people to understand our DNA. It's DNA. We're not hiding from it. It's a blessing and a curse. But his statement is the trauma comes up when we are safe. Okay. And so what happened for me at 52, I'm sitting in my living room celebrating my life and was safe and whoosh, it just all came rushing up. Like I said, well, Doug Brackman works with entrepreneurs, Navy SEALs, driven people. 10% of the world are driven people. Your entire audience are driven people. Well, what he talks about is with a Navy SEAL, the trauma doesn't come up for them on the battlefield. It comes up when they're home sitting on their couch and they're safe. And that's what happened for me. I realized that I have been in battle for 37 years. Again, at 15, created the persona, went to work. And so there I was safe. So I think that's probably why. you know, when you get to the top of the mountain, the beauty is you at some point realize there is no mountain, never was. It's all just a journey. So that's fun. But with that, it's when you feel safe. And so what I hope in this work is that I can ping more souls earlier, because I personally believe it's possible to wake up a little earlier, to find inner peace earlier. I believe it's possible. I didn't have that luxury, but I think it comes up for a person whenever it's time to come up. And I hope conversations like you and I are having are going to wake them up and ping their soul when they're ready. And I describe it as pinging the soul because the persona I described that I created for myself at 15, we all do that. You know, we're born perfect, our innate selves, and then life gets a hold of us and shit happens. And then we just create these layers of protection. And in this armored shield, well, pinging the soul, I describe as just piercing that armor and letting a little light in or a little light out. And man, once it's pierced, look out, baby. And so it's just a question of when the person is ready. And I hope a whole lot of people are going to get pinged at 25 and not 52 like I did.
I think that is a very worthwhile pursuit. One of the things that I love about all your books, and Rocket Fuel was a life changer for me, is that you lay out these really big concepts, but then you always give a model. You give steps that I can go and take action in my life and I can refer back to as tools as I go. This is no different, because when someone says you're going to get in touch with your inner peace, Jason, maybe it's the Midwest kid in me, but it sounds a little airy fairy. And I was like, great, he's going to have me not wearing shoes, sitting, meditating, eating in acai bowl. Yes. But you got real practical, real fast with these kind of 10 ways to maximize.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So with that, you know, it's funny you say that saying. For me, it was, I always called it woo-woo stuff, yeah. You know. And so my co-author, Rob Dubay, who's just the coolest, most zen dude, he always tells me to please stop saying woo-woo, you know, but I can't stop it because that's my tough guy thing that's just trying to like protect myself, because it does feel a little airy-fairy. And if you were, you know, telling me about this stuff when I was 25, there might be a fist fight. You know what I mean? It's like, it would just scared the hell out of me. So if you're scared out there, that's normal. Please continue to listen in, because it'll happen when it happens. But you're right. As is my style, once I have this awareness, then I go crazy into, I go so far down the rabbit hole of learning and understanding what's really going on. And then I just have this way of seeing the patterns and trends and just creating very simple, practical tools to help accomplish that objective. You know, so basically to lead into what we call these 10 disciplines is a discovery I made in all of this work, and realizing that, you know, 10% of us are driven. It's DNA. You're not hiding from it. It's a blessing and a curse. The blessing is that we create most things on this planet and we're superheroes. The curse is we do more damage to ourselves and our relationships, physically, mentally. And so we just leave a black trail behind us. But with that awareness, you can manage that. And then with that, you can start to shift your decisions, your emotions, your feelings, your thoughts to more love-based than fear-based, because we tend to be more fear-based because we're fighting this war. And then the aha is that you can be driven and have inner peace. I just realized that it's possible. And with that, it's like, okay, I got to figure out how to help people accomplish this thing. Because like you said, I too thought it was a choice. It's like you're either driven or you have peace. And peace to me, I thought you had to like live in a hut at the top of a mountain, meditate all day. It's not that at all. You get to go be your hardworking, hard-charging, driven self. It's heaven. But again, under the surface, there's peace. So I created 10 disciplines. They're called 10 disciplines to maximize your impact and inner peace. And so what they're maximizing is both your outer world and your inner world. So the beauty is you get to decide how far you want to go inside with these 10 disciplines, because they're also going to benefit you externally. So what I always love to do is I just would love to just share the 10 disciplines at a high level. And then if you know your audience better than I do, grab the two or three that you feel like are the ones we should go deep into. But here they are at a high level. 10 disciplines to maximize your impact and inner peace. Number one, 10-year thinking. Number two, take time off. Number three, know thyself. Number four, be still. Number five, know your 100%. That's your work container. Number six, say no, ... often. Number seven, don't do $25 an hour work. Number eight, prepare every night. Number 9, put everything in one place. And number 10, be humble.
I love it. There's a couple that I want to really hit on, but let's start at the top. This idea of 10-year thinking, what do you mean when you say that?
Yeah, so I learned this at 35. And so for most of us driven people, we want everything now. And we have trouble thinking past like today or this week or this month or even next quarter. We're just short-term thinking and it's all now. And that's how I was up until 35 years old. But when I became aware of 10-year thinking and I shifted my mindset to thinking in 10-year timeframes, multi-decade terms, what happened for me is a calm came over me. I started making better decisions. I started seeing things clearer. But the irony is I got there faster. So there's a saying that says we overestimate what we can get done in a year, but we greatly underestimate what we can get done in 10 years. You can build an empire in 10 years. I mean, you can accomplish anything in 10 years. And so the idea is to slow yourself down and just simply start thinking in 10-year timeframes so that every decision you're making today is within a 10-year time, with a 10-year timeframe in mind. And so an example is like with EOS. I created EOS to last 100 years. That was my thinking in the creation of that. It's now lasted over 20 years, so I'm 20% of the way to my goal. I don't know if it'll last 100 years, but here's what I do know. It's going to last longer because I thought about creating something that's going to last 100 years than if I just thought about what the world needs right now at this moment. And so just zooming out, and it's as simple as, you know, so that's me creating something that will hopefully last a lifetime. It's also as simple as in your relationships, what do you want your relationships to look like 10 years from now? Well, the thing you're about to say to your spouse or your friend at this moment, what, you know, how does that play out 10 years from now? It just helps you make better decisions. If you want to be healthy and strong 10 years from now, that thing you're about to put in your mouth, you may want to reconsider. It just shifts your whole thinking. But what it does is it helps time to just kind of stand still. And ironically, you just simply get there faster.
That blows me away. Gary Keller, who's the namesake for this show with the MRA book, he always says that when you add perspective to thought, you get better decisions. Mm-hmm. And you're saying something similar, which is this: if I take a longer term view of my life, I'm probably going to make better choices about how I spend my minutes.
Exactly right.
I love that. All right. The next one is take time off. I struggle here because in the book you say, you know, you just write, it's take 130 days a year off. And the realtor in me, Gino, I can't even tell you. Like I had anxiety just reading it. How do you do that?
I love it. So yeah, so the bold statement here, first of all, discipline number two, like you said, is take time off. There's always a bold statement that supports each discipline. And this one, as you already said, is take 130 days off per year and don't think about work the entire day. So that is the discipline. And yes, that's terrifying. But watch this, you know, so it's simple math is if you just took off every weekend, which I get is harder for realtors, but if you just took off every weekend and holidays and 2 weeks vacation, you're pretty much at 130 days. So it's not this wild and crazy thought. Now, using me as the example, I have taken 150 days off every year for the last 20 plus years. I take the month of August off every year. So it is possible to build an empire and take time off. So again, it's a mindset, it's a discipline, but you have to start somewhere. And so what we urge you to do is start by just adding up the number of days you're taking off now and just try to move the needle. But we believe you can get to at least 130 days because here's what we know. By doing that, you come back into the business more creative, more sharp, more at peace. And more importantly, what's happening when you start to take time off is you're creating space and time to go inside and let things come up. So what we're doing as driven people, we're just hiding from what's under that surface and what's in there. We're workaholics and we just kind of work through it so we don't have to face it. But all of a sudden you create that space and time, stuff's going to start to come up. But again, if nothing else, outer world impact, you're going to be more creative, more intuitive. I know by taking the month of August off and forgetting what I do for a living, I come back more motivated, clear, intuitive, creative. I have more ideas. I'm a better person, and I believe I'm further ahead. And then for what it's worth, I'll just say this. You know, I don't know if the real estate industry has changed, but you know, I sold real estate 35 years ago. For 3 years, from ages 21 to 24, I sold $5 million in real estate. This was in 1990. Average sale price, $130,000. I sold 36 homes. I made 100 grand a year. Not bad. So I don't consider myself like super successful. But the point was, I took a lot of time off doing that. You know, so I did a lot of listings, which helps. I wasn't running a lot of buyers around, but I know it's possible just because I even did it in the real estate industry, but I'm not an expert in the real estate industry. I can't remember anything I did back in the real estate industry because that's a lifetime ago, but there's my jumping off point for you.
Let me ask you this, because and I'm thinking about like that integrator that's out there that's listening today and saying, okay, I've climbed all the way to the top of the company that I'm in. There's a visionary that founded the firm, but we operate as partners. We need each other. I got here because I didn't take any time off. Like, I'm the one that gets everything done. I'm the one that's always on call. How do I detach from that and even have that conversation if I don't own the company?
Well, I appreciate you saying that, because I didn't even go there. But that's the other thing that I had in the real estate industry was an amazing assistant. I just always had an assistant. So there was always, and I wouldn't necessarily call her an integrator, but she was the one that held the fort down in my absence. But now let's shoot forward to where I am in this lifetime and where I am at this point in this era is I just have a great team around me. So, I mean, literally when I go on vacation, the FBI can't find me. I mean, you couldn't find me if you tried. I'm so well protected. But that's because I don't check my email. I don't communicate with the outside world. You think you're emailing me and you think I'm responding to you, but that's my assistant. And I've got a great team that's running the business. So like you said, an integrator, if you have a great integrator running your business, then yes, you can go check out for as long as you want to check out. You just got to let go. You got to trust them. You got to have the right people in the right seats, of course. But I've just always had a great team around me that holds down the fort when I disappear.
I love that. All right. The next one is know thyself. Mm-hmm. And realtors are, I think by and large, they're really self-engaged. Mm-hmm. This may be more applicable to folks that are hiding from who they really are. But you say just be yourself and let it fly. Why is that important?
Yeah, my favorite line is to let your freak flag fly. So, what we're talking about here is freeing your true self. Okay, and so let your freak flag fly means fully being your true self in the world, being free out in the world. And so it's all about shedding those layers so that you can be free. But now here we go. So watch this. Again, there's what's below the surface and above the surface. There's the outer world and the inner world. And so to know thyself, you have to know thyself before you can be yourself. And we start with the outer world stuff first, and that's learning your personality and your traits and learning your strengths and your weaknesses and really learning your superpower. And so there's work that needs to be done there to really understand who you are. So that's all the great outer world stuff. Then the magic happens when you're ready is to now go below the surface and really start to understand what's going on the inside and really start to shed those layers. That's deeper work, but that's when you really get to know yourself and really get to know your true self and really let yourself shine and let your freak flag fly. And so you may spend time in meditation is one way to do it, where you're sitting in quiet time, contemplation, journaling, prayer, whatever works for you to just create space to let things come up, which gets scary. So there's a funny saying that says, my mind is like a bad neighborhood. I try not to go there alone. So it's just scary going inside. You can go seek therapy and do that kind of work. You can read a lot of self-help stuff. There are 1,000 things you could do. We list a whole bunch of them in this book. So we show you all the ways to what we call shed layers. Just shed all that stuff from the past. I like to describe it, the visual image is you are this true self, this soul, this essence, this heart, this power source at the center that's sadly protected by this ego and this protective layer that its intentions are good, but there's a lot of blocked stuff in there preventing you from being your true self. Because again, like me at 15, that's when I protected it all and didn't let it out. Well, now I'm letting it out. And so the idea is just start letting it out. And I always lovingly like to say, when you shed a layer, there will be tears. So you just got to get good at it. Just like feeling it. And there's an old saying too that says, the pain that you stuffed it down with, the pain that you experienced and why you stuffed it down, when it comes up, it typically comes back up with the same amount of pain. Again, so it's scary stuff. But on the other side of shedding it, and you will shed it, oh, is that peace we're talking about, that bliss. And then again, you start to shine a little brighter, you start to vibrate a little higher, you start to make a bigger impact on the world.
I love that. And that kind of ties into the next, which is this idea of being still. I spent a day with Michael Singer, and he said, man, you can't sit still. And you don't realize how long a day is until you do. Do you know why is it so important to spend enough time still?
Yeah, I'm a huge Michael Singer fan. How on earth did you get a chance to spend a day with
him? I will tell you the story offline. If I tell you online, everyone will do it, but I'm going to make sure you get the experience.
Incredible. So I'm a huge fan of his. And he's actually one of the people that says that saying that it's going to come up with as much pain as it went down, you know? So huge fan of his and a great book. I mean, just Untethered Souls, a great book to read to talk about this stuff that we're talking about in this shedding. And so, but your question you're asking me is why is it so hard to be still, right? So it's exactly what I'm talking about. Being still, if you, the bold statement here is to sit in silence for 30 minutes every day. Okay. So that is freaky to a driven person. And because what happens is when you are still, here we go, when you're safe, the trauma comes up to that earlier quote from Doug Brackman. And so the trauma comes up when you are safe. In that stillness, stuff is going to percolate and it's going to come up, the stuff that's below the surface, and it gets really scary. And so our immediate reaction is to push it back down. So again, there's just that stuff in there. And there's a great study. I'll get it kind of half right, but the point will be made. But there was a study done where people would go into a room for 15 minutes, okay? And so 15 minutes of silence in a room. And in the room is this button that they hit. And if they push the button, it gives them an electric shock, okay? Now, before going in the room, every person already received the shock and said the shock was so painful, they would pay money to never receive the shock again. Now, each person on their own goes into the room in silence for 15 minutes. Almost half the people hit the button. Because it was better to hit the button and feel shocked than the pain of being alone by themselves and letting it come up. And one particular gentleman hit the button over 100 times. So the point is, we're just afraid to let the stuff come up because it's scary. And I'm just trying to convince the world what's on the other side of that scary stuff coming up is so magical and so worth it that we just got to let it come up.
Gosh, I love that. All right. Number five, know your 100%. What does that mean?
Yeah. So that is what we call your work container. Okay. And so we are, let's go back to our true selves and your freak flag. Okay. This being that you are, you have a secret magic formula that is 100% yours uniquely. And so my 100%, my work container, I work 40 weeks a year. 55 hours a week. That's what I have done for over 20 years. And I built what I built in that time. What that is my perfect maximum output where 1 hour more, I start to burn out. 1 hour less, I start to get bored. And so it's like that gauge in your car where it tells you maximum fuel efficiency, where you push the accelerator to the perfect point, you're getting maximum fuel efficiency. Same thing, because we're talking about managing your energy here. And so it's figuring out your perfect formula and then protecting that, because that's where you'll make the most impact on the world. And then everything outside of that, again, allows you to take the time off and create space and let that other magic happen. But this is all about you making money. This is about you providing your craft to the world. This is the time that you do your work in the world and make the impact that you want to make.
Gosh, I love that. I think a lot of folks wake up and they work until they fall over. And then they wake up when they wake up and they do it again. And before you know it, you look up and you get what you get. And that's life.
Exactly. And it's and here's the beauty. If you will dial that in. And so the idea is you got to play with this. You got to play with this. And so we always urge you to think about what's the number of weeks per year and the number of hours per week. So I know mine clearly. And the beauty is when you will create that work container, now you know your 100% as your business grows. And so let's pretend hypothetically out there you're selling $5 million in real estate. And in 2 years, you'll be selling $10 million in real estate. Well, odds are you may not have the capacity to do all that work that you were doing when you were at 5 million. And so what happens is you protect the work container And now you start to bring people into your world where you're delegating and elevating and staying within your 100%. And that's where you start to build a team. It helps you really manage your capacity now. Because when you have this never-ending, expanding, contracting capacity, you will just burn the candle at both ends and just keep working till you keel over. You've got to set boundaries for yourself.
Yeah. And that kind of goes into the next two, which, you know, you have say no often, which our audience is very familiar with. It's either hell yes or hell no, especially in a recession. And I know they haven't officially called it, friends. You're in it. Fair enough. The next one, don't do $25 an hour work. We have beat leverage to death. And you're so right about that. It's number eight that got me here. Prepare every night. Mm-hmm. So this is the idea that if I don't have some rituals that make me prepared for the next day, I'm really missing the boat.
Yeah. And disciplines eight and nine are sneaky powerful. They're so simple that they kind of go over people's heads, and just in terms of they underestimate the power. Okay. And so like you said, number eight is prepare every night. And so the discipline here is simply this: at the end of the day, somewhere between when your day ends and your head hits the pillow, prepare for the next day. Have the next day's plan documented. Now, I do it on a legal pad at the end of every day. You could do this on whatever technology you're using. But in chronological order, I lay out my next day so that when I wake up in the morning, I hit the ground running. I know exactly what I need to accomplish and what's going to happen. All my meetings, appointments, calls, conversations, projects are all laid out in chronological order. What this will do for you is many powerful things, but first you will sleep better. Your mind does not race in the middle of the night as much. You literally will wake up with ideas and solutions to stuff you need to work on the next day because your subconscious is working through the night while you're sleeping, and you will have more energy. This is all about managing your energy and, again, maximizing your input and inner peace. This is going to make you more impactful in the outer world and give you much more inner peace. Prepare every night.
When you have that list in front of you, are there times when you look at it and say, well, I know I'm not doing that, or I said yes, I'm moving that, or that's the last thing I want to do? What do you mean get on the Peloton at 6 a.m.? I can't even. That has to happen, Gino. How do you handle it when it does?
Yeah, of course. Now, I'm a pretty disciplined dude, so that doesn't happen to me a lot. But the reality of it is, the nature of a driven person, what you lay out in chronological order for the next day, you probably overshot, and I do as well. So it's not like I'm so much from a discipline standpoint saying, oh, I don't want to do that now. It's more about I either can't get it all in because the 1 hour project I scheduled took me 2 hours, or my day blew up. Something hit me in the middle of the day. But here's what's important: by laying out the next day beforehand, those surprises are going to happen. Some projects are going to take longer. So it just helps you. You will still be further ahead as a result of laying that out than doing what many people do, and that's waking up and letting the day come at them. If you wake up and start checking emails or letting the day come at you, you've just lost total control of your life. So going back to what you said, yes, when there are surprises in my day, when the project took longer, then yeah, I can't get it all done. But then it just carries over to the next day, or I time block it somewhere else when I have time to do it.
We had Molly Fletcher on the show the other day. She wrote the book, The Energy Clock. She's the female Jerry Maguire. She's an amazing sports agent who awesome. Now runs a great podcast and wrote this book. And she said something so similar to you, that most people never set their energy clock. They just get what they get. And they think that somehow that's the maximum potential of what they have. It's so misguided. It's crazy. All right. Put everything in one place.
Yeah. So here comes another. This is number nine. And this is another sneaky, powerful discipline. So don't let it sneak by you, but it's put everything in one place. And so what's typically happening for us driven people is we go throughout our day and we make promises to people. We make commitments. We have ideas. We have thoughts. And so a lot of stuff going on. Well, what we're typically doing is we're writing on a sticky note over here, putting it in our phone notes over here. We're putting it in six different places. We're trying to remember it. Stuff comes up in a meeting. Oh, we think we'll remember that in 2 hours. Bottom line is you won't, and you're letting people down. And imagine what that's doing to your energy and your output and your inner peace. It's not good. But bottom line is you're letting people down. Put everything in one place says as you go throughout the day and all that stuff happens, you're just quickly jotting it down in one place. A journal. For me, it's my legal pad. In a remarkable tablet, in some other tablet, in your phone notes. But what the job is, the second it comes up, put it in your one place. Have one place forever that you will capture everything that comes up throughout the day. Then when you get to the end of the day and you prepare for the next day, that's where you then take everything off your one place and put it in the appropriate compartment. So some stuff you'll take care of right there at the end of the day. Some stuff you'll move over to the next day when you lay that out. The rest you'll just compartmentalize wherever you compartmentalize that thing, that promise, that commitment. All of a sudden, you'll stop letting people down. You'll honor all of your commitments. You'll get more done. People will trust you more. And so consistency builds trust and respect. And so that's put everything in one place.
Gina, let's talk about the legal pad, because I got a whole generation of millennials who are literally pulling their cars over and crying for you. When you stick that thing in a backpack or a brief, doesn't the first page get folded over and it's a catastrophe?
It's all skill. I can put my legal pad in my bag like like the best of them. So for the record, I have lots of millennials that have journals and legal pads. So please, people out there, don't lose sight of the power of writing, because worst case, a tablet, the power of writing, it's been scientifically proven. Look it up. We are all cavemen and cavewomen. It's primal. Writing, we retain better. We learn more. I mean, this has been, you can literally Google it and you'll see 10 studies about this. But writing is powerful. So lots of millennials still use a journal or a legal pad. Writing is powerful. But again, if you love technology, please then use technology for this. Just decide your one place. You got to pick your one place. You can't have six places.
Gary Keller, next to his computer, has a legal pad. And anything that matters is on it. And if it's not on it, it doesn't matter.
You know, it's another funny thing, because people laugh at my legal pad all the time. But when I walk into a meeting, I'm holding my legal pad. If I'm meeting you in a coffee shop, I walk in with my legal pad. That legal pad it's my life. And, you know, my output's pretty good. So it works.
I love it. All right. You close the list with be humble, which I want you to explain it, but I want you to touch on something for me. Is it harder to be humble once you've had the sort of opportunity that you have to have sold that business and all of the riches, untold riches come in? Is it harder to be humble then or as you're building it?
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. I don't know if I can answer that, because I'm going to create a context and then I'll come back and answer your question. Okay. Because the bold statement, excuse me, with be humble is view yourself as an equal to every person on the planet. If you can do that, you will be humble. But what we teach is this spectrum. So if you picture this spectrum where on one end is humble, on the other end is arrogant, we're all somewhere on that spectrum. And if you look up the definition of those two words, the definition is almost identical. It's how you view yourself in comparison to others, okay? And so humble people think that they're, you know, equal to others. Arrogant people tend to think they're a little better than other people. So it's just what it is. And the power of that spectrum is to just simply be honest with yourself. Put a hash mark on the line. Where are you on the spectrum of being humble or arrogant? And we're all somewhere on that spectrum. Now, if you really want the aha voila moment, go to the five people in your life you trust and love the most and have them put a hash mark on the line about you, and then you'll get the real answer, because you're probably going to kid yourself. Whether it's harder on the way up or harder when you get there, it's impossible for me to conjure the words to answer that question. And, you know, I just think the sooner you start with the awareness, the better. And I got tapped early on in life, which I think helped me. But I've slipped a few times. I've gotten caught up in the helium a few times.
Yeah, we all have. I love that. It's so simple. A humble life is better. You're not going to improve on that.
Friends, I think so. One man's opinion.
The book is called Shine, 10 Disciplines for Maximizing Your Energy, Impact, and Inner Peace. Gino Wickman and Rob Dude. And I'm going to tell you this. This book crushes. You need to go get this one now. I'm giving it all two thumbs up. It's fantastic. Gino, We want to invite you to the lightning round. Now, we will ask you a quick series of questions in fast succession. We want the first thing that comes to your mind. Will you join us?
Absolutely.
Gino, what is your favorite color?
Blue.
What is your favorite food?
Oh, man. I'd probably say sushi at this point in my life.
Stop the tape. It's so good. It's so good. It's so good. Okay. Do you have a favorite noise? What sound do you like?
Man. Wow. A favorite sound. Holy cow. Boy, I just got a little emotional about my wife's laugh.
Stop the lightning round. I got to tell you, we almost 50% of the people we ask name a laugh and then a person who does it. It's either been a spouse or a child. That's the human connection. It's unbelievable. Wow. Do you have a favorite movie?
Thank God I didn't say like a cash register or something.
Like
<Cha-ching>! Favorite movie? Yeah. Well, the top of my list, Jerry Maguire's up there. Gladiator's up there.
It's a good movie.
So those are Braveheart's up there. Those are kind of in the top three.
A warrior poet. I would expect nothing less.
Yeah. And the movie Warriors from the 70s is up there too, top five.
Warriors. That's, no one's going to get the reference, but if you don't know, you don't know.
That's the fighter in me at 15.
Is there a book other than the ones that you've written that you think everyone should read? Just one that should be on the shelf?
Well, for this audience, Think and Grow Rich is like mandatory read. Like anybody I meet at 18 years old, that's like mandatory read. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. You know, and with this conversation we're having, that's above the line stuff, below the surface stuff. You already said it, but Michael Singer, Untethered Soul. And then I would also strongly recommend David Hawkins' Letting Go. Those are two very powerful resources for going inside and shedding layers.
I love it. Fantastic. Gino, thank you, thank you, thank you for everything that you've done, but more importantly, for everything that you continue to do for our industry and entrepreneurs in general.
And Jason, may I just please direct your audience to a true self-assessment, okay? And so if you want to see where you are on the journey and how free your soul really is, so how free your true self is, your essence, your heart, whatever you call it, you get to pick your word. We have something called the True Self-Assessment on the website. It's free. It takes you a few minutes. It's at the10disciplines.com. And we offer a self-study, group coaching, a mastermind. But just please check out this book. And you can also download a free chapter, the first 27 pages of the book. So lots of resources there. But take the assessment, get a sense of where you are. And that's the thing that might help ping your soul and start you on this journey.
I love it. Give us the website one more time, if you would.
The10disciplines.com. You can spell out 10 or just put 10. Either one works.
There it is. Everybody, take a look. I'm telling you, you will be glad that you did. Gino, thanks again.
What a pleasure, Jason.
There it is. It's another one in the books. Friends, I told you that that was going to be an amazing journey and that you should buckle up. And was I right or was I right? Think about this. He wakes up with having sold the business, got all this money, and then he begins this quest. It takes him all the way back to when he was 15 years old. He gave us these 10 ideas, and I do not want them to get lost. Number one, you got to shift your mindset, and you have to start thinking in 10-year increments. Remember, you can be anywhere you want to be. You just need more time to get there. Number two, you got to take time off. When he said take 130 days off a year, my head exploded. Number three, know thyself. You have to be true to yourself. Real estate agents, I think that you do that so well. Number four, be still. A half hour a day of just sitting there? I don't know. I struggle with it. You have to do it, he says. Know your 100%. Friends, how much can you get done? And do you know how big the tank is? Number six, say no often. If it isn't a heck yes, it's a heck no. Number seven, don't do $25 an hour work. We call this leverage. Nobody succeeds or loses alone. You do it with others. Number eight, prepare every night. He talked about the power of the subconscious. Make a list of everything you're going to do the next day. Let your brain work on it while you're sleeping. Number nine, put it all in one place. And number 10, be humble. Friends, I want to thank you because as an audience, you have pushed us to become the number one podcast in our space. I am truly humbled by that. And remember, Everything you learn here, take forth and do likewise. And there it is. That wraps another episode. Friends, I don't know what you're taking out of this. I really don't. I'll tell you what I want you to be taking out of it, which is these are the people that are having tremendously big lives. And the reason it's happening is because they're setting up the models and systems to do just that. Gary Keller told me that leadership is teaching people how to think so that they do the things they need to do when they need to do them, so that ultimately they get the things they want when they want to have them. And that's what I want for you. You're all leaders. But it begins with leading ourselves. If you're enjoying this podcast, I want you to click the subscribe button anywhere that you get your podcasts. We want to be the voice in your head every single week. And every week, we're dropping new content. We also send out a newsletter at the conclusion of every show to make sure that you get the highest points and the models and systems that were discussed. So if you want to sign up, I need your name and your email address. Head over to themillionaireagentpodcast.com. MillionaireAgentPodcast.com. Enter your name and your email address, and every week that newsletter will be in your box. Friends, you just went on a journey. I hope that what happens between now and the next time we meet is absolutely wonderful for you. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information. Warning. You must comply with the TCPA and any other federal, state, or local laws, including for B2B calls and texts. Never call or text a number on any do not call list, and do not use an auto dialer or artificial voice or pre-recorded messages without proper consent. Contact your attorney to ensure your compliance.